Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it's great to be here in hour two. Peter King in 15 minutes, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be, and however you may be listening. We're on Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1. I wore a very colorful shirt today. Joy Taylor brought this up in the makeup room this morning. I just get a little rouge. That's it. Halloween is when?
Saturday.
I'm going to miss Halloween in L.A. Are they letting kids go out this year?
I don't think they're doing trick-or-treating this year.
Give me a break.
I mean...
Come on, L.A., lighten up.
I don't know why they couldn't just do... Because I've been trick-or-treating in L.A., and a lot of places just leave the bowls of candy outside of the house. Like, they'll decorate outside the house and leave the candy bowl outside the house. So if you're, like, older or... like vulnerable, I don't know why you couldn't do that. I'm sure everyone's going to, you know, disinfect the candy when it gets
kids are already wearing masks.
That's true. That's true. This is an appropriate time to wear masks.
You don't hear ghosts getting COVID, little ghosts running around.
I don't know. I know everyone's trying to be safe.
I know it. I get it. All right, here we go. It's the Herd Hierarchy. I spend way too much time on this than I should. The 10 best teams in the NFL on a Tuesday, every time on Tuesday this time. Here we go.
Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Arizona. I know we're all loving Arizona because they have two big primetime wins in the last 8 days. They're still really inconsistent, but they're fun. Kyler Murray's tied for the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL. They're fun. I get it. But Dallas is horrible, and Seattle's defense is the only one in the league that's worse. They're really good against bad defenses, that we can say. They've won 7 of their last 10. They deserve to be on this list. Let's just bring it down a little. It's been 2 games in prime time. Cowboys defense, Seahawks defense. They make everybody look great. Cam looked great against Seattle. New England looked great against Seattle. Let's put them at 10 and not go crazy.
Number 9.
I had the Rams here last week. I bet them last night. Had a winning blazing 5-week, by the way, 3-2. I like the Rams. I think their offensive and defensive lines are playing a little better than people think. They're number 2 in scoring defense. Now, some of that is who they've played. But the only team to allow fewer than 20 points in 5 games this year. They replaced the defensive coordinator, and I love their weapons. They're a team that can... I think more than previous years with McVay, they can make halftime adjustments. I think Jared Goff is playing very well in second halves. They've been a slow starting team, but I like what they're doing after half. This is a very good football team, and I think they proved it last night.
Number 8.
Seattle. Listen, settle down, Arizona. I know you beat them. Seattle controlled most of that football game. If not for a personal foul penalty on a special teams play, they win that game in regulation. It was the first loss for Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson when leading by 4-plus points at halftime. It's not going to happen again. Their defense, though, is atrocious. And I do think they've got to make a move. Go get an Everson Griffin, a J.J. Watt. They've got to make a move. You cannot win a Super Bowl with this defense. Jamal Adams is tied for the lead in sacks. He's got 2. Myles Garrett has 9. They need a pass rush or they're a limited team.
Number 7.
Green Bay has a better defense. And I'm going to put them here at number 7. I think they play great when they're comfortable. Once again, Aaron Rodgers, 3rd game this year, 4 touchdowns, no picks. They were my bet of the year in the NFL. They're very good. But I have seen too many times physical teams line up with them and push them around. So I'm just going to keep them in this 6-7 spot until they change my mind and beat a physical team.
Number 6.
The 49ers. Now, this may last 1 week because they are falling apart physically. And Jimmy G's got the fewest air yards of anybody in the league quarterbacking. Some of that, though, frankly, is Kyle Shanahan. That's just what he does. I really like this team. I like their coach. I like their quarterback. I like their operations. But, I mean, good God, we're going to know. They're at Seattle, and they face Green Bay. So the next 2 weeks, we're going to know a lot. Raheem Mostert's hurt. Jeff Wilson hurt. Tevin Coleman hurt. Deebo Samuel hurt. They already have Bosa out. It's just, at some point, injuries are an issue, but I'm going to put them ahead of Green Bay for a week because I think if they met and they could be, I think if they had met last weekend, I would have taken the Niners to beat them.
Number 5.
It gets real close here. Inches, not feet. I'll put Tennessee. They miss a field goal or they go to overtime and probably beat Pittsburgh. Their third down defense is why I put them at five. They really struggle to get people off the field on third down. And a lot of that is because they don't have a pass rush. You know, they just don't. They do so many things well. Really good coach. Hey, Ryan Tannehill, 14-5 since becoming the starter last year, week seven. He's a different player. But until they get better consistently on third down in the pass rush, I put them at five.
Number four.
Back and forth on this and the Baltimore Ravens, but the Ravens did go out and get a defensive end that's going to upgrade their pass rush. They have the number one scoring defense. Some of that is who they've played, but they have the number one rushing offense. I still think this is a very good team. They're coming off a bye. They're favored over the Steelers. I think, you know, we're getting into this, you know, Lamar can't play from behind. Well, he does have a winning record. He's won 64% of his NFL games when he trails at any point. Now, if you trail Derrick Henry late, it may be a little different than trailing everybody else late. Let's not bury them yet. I still love their roster. I love their coach. Lamar is still uniquely, bizarrely gifted. I still think it's a Super Bowl potential team.
Number three.
The Steelers. I think it's the best constructed roster in the NFL. In fact, I think their weakness is Big Ben. Some of his throws are, to me, mind-boggling. That throw against Tennessee late, what are you doing? You've been in this league now for like 15 years. I like their running back. James Conner's better than people think. Their front seven's unbelievable. Minkah Fitzpatrick. I like everything about him. I worry that Big Ben and Mike Tomlin, I mean, they're made for each other. They're just a little reckless. And that you can get away with all that alpha stuff, but I do wonder late in the season against a Kansas City or a Tennessee that appear more buttoned up. But in terms of a constructed roster, nothing I don't like about it. They got receivers. They always have receivers. Offensive line, pass rush, TJ Watt. Is he a top 15 player in the league now? I mean, they are loaded.
Number two.
Kansas City. And I love them right now because they're not as reliant on Patrick Mahomes. Special teams are excellent. Defense is playing well. This is why the Le'Veon Bell thing made sense to me. Andy Reid's figured it out here. Like, I'm not going to have this kid throwing 39 times a game. I'm not going to have him. Because if you're paying him, then you can't have a perfect offensive line and all the weapons. They're becoming more physical, and I love that about them, but they're not as physical as the number one team.
Number one.
Is Tampa. First of all, point differential, which is a thing Vegas cares about, number one in the league. Yardage differential, number one in the league. Sack differential, number two in the league, meaning they protect Tom and they get to yours. I think they can beat you physically. They can beat you with speed. They can beat you with smarts. They can beat you with experience. They can beat you over the top. They can pound the football. They're doing this without Leonard Fournette. Like, they're doing this right now without Mike Evans playing much and Chris Godwin. They're doing this not healthy. I think their linebacking core is the fastest linebacking core I have seen in years. So Tampa's my number one team in the NFL. All right, Joy, any complaints about that there?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Steelers are undefeated. They just beat the Titans. They got to be number one just for this week.
It feels like a homer call there. But
the Bucs are definitely the best team in the NFC, though. I would agree with you there.
All right. New England and Cam stunk this last weekend. Jeff Garcia is a former NFL quarterback. He was on a show, not sure which one, but here's Jeff Garcia. He was upset with Cam and the Flash after how poorly he's been playing this year.
You go into this game, two touchdowns, four interceptions. You throw, what, three more interceptions? You get yanked in the second half. There's nothing good going your way. Why are you dressing like that to bring more attention to yourself? I'd be trying to ask the equipment managers, put me in your jock sock cart and sneak me in the back door.
Cam Newton, meanwhile, apparently was not outraged by it, and Cam Newton responded.
The fact that he's a former player, you know, he has every right to say that. And until that happens, then so be it. But that's another opinionated theory. And it's fair to say. So, I mean, I know I come off to so many different people, so many different ways, and that's fine. And he, you know what? He's exactly right. But I'm not changing the way I dress.
Listen, Cam's the only guy I've ever seen that looks good in yellow. So you can dress how you want. When you get into relationships, you got to kind of own the person's identity. Women date the rebel. They marry the rebel. And then all of a sudden, she's like, he's a rebel. Well, you married him. You dated him. Guys, you marry the flirt. She's still a flirt. Like, you get into relationships, you just got to put your arms around the person. Stop trying to change everybody. Deal with their flaws. Can you imagine somebody's married to me? You got to deal with the flaws. Listen, one of the reasons I come out, and I do this very early for quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, Joey Burrow, Johnny Manziel, Baker Mayfield, Cam, I have unbelievably strong opinions because I'm trying to create clarity for you to know what I think going in. Cam was never my guy. Baker Mayfield was too cocky for me. Johnny Manziel was too arrogant. Jameis Winston was too silly. Cam had too much ego. And I let you know what they want. And I said Baker Mayfield's undraftable. But I always said, for me, for my personality, I like boring. I like Russell Wilson. I like Brady. I like Andrew Luck. That's what I would build around. I like boring. I like presidential. I like quarterback heel. That's what I like. But if I inherited Cam, I'd have to let him be Cam. He does look good in yellow. No other man in the history of the world does that I've ever seen. Like, when there's a lot of GMs and head coaches that are not into Cam. That's why his market was tiny. Like, they're just Ron Rivera took his backup. But once you have Cam, and once you acquire Cam, or you trade for Cam, or you draft Cam, gotta let Cam be Cam. You date somebody, gotta let them be who they are. If you're upset with them, send them to a therapist. But I will defend Cam here. Cam's authentic. Cam's who he is. Cam's always been the same guy. Cam's never shied away from it. It'd be one thing if Cam was like, wore a suit and a tie and a briefcase, and he dressed like an accountant. Then you got him there, and he's being Cam. And be like, whoa. Time out. Like Baker Mayfield. I wouldn't draft him. Johnny Manziel, Jameis, Cam. It's like, out. That's me. But once you have that, I think it's a deteriorating. It never works. Trying to change who somebody is never works. So, yeah, I mean, Cam's probably better served going to little low-key the last 2 weeks. But that's not who he is. That's not who you went and got. That's not who you acquired. And by the way, he's the most talented offensive guy they've got. Stephon Gilmore is the most talented defensive guy you've got. So, you know, it's nothing against Jeff Garcia. It's not the first person that said that. There's a little too much flash here. But, you know, Carolina, to their credit with Cam, that was never their issue. They went and got Cam. They took the personality. They took the clothes. They took the fashion. It's like Russell Westbrook. He's not my kind of point guard. But in Houston, they kind of let him be what he was. And he had a good year. All right, coming up next, Peter King stops by. Poor Chicago. I watched them last night, and I'm like, poor Chicago. Once again, no feel for offense. At all, 4 decades of no feel for offense.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tonight, don't miss the debut of the Spring League, an elite professional football development league featuring some of the biggest names from the top college programs in the country. It all starts tonight at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, only on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
Now, JT Barrett played at Ohio State. He won a lot of games for Urban Meyer. He's going to be he beat out Joe Burrow. That's why I thought Joe Burrow
yes,
would be no
did.
Good.
He mentioned that.
So here we go. I said my best team in the league was Tampa. I went Tampa, Kansas City 2, Pittsburgh 3, Baltimore 4, Tennessee 5. I said this. Well, let's bring on Peter King, NBCSports.com, member of the board of selectors for the Pro Football Hall of Fame since the early 90s. So, I said, Peter, is that for years and years, we felt like the question in the AFC was, who's going to beat Brady? And in the NFC gave us this carousel of Seattle got to a Super Bowl and the 49ers and Philadelphia. And then just like LeBron comes to the West, Brady goes to the NFC. And 7 weeks in, I'm like, all right, that's the best team easily. It's not just throwing a football. It's leadership. It's accountability. Peter, I don't know who the second best team is in the NFC this morning. I really don't know. You could make arguments for Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Kansas City. You tell me, who's their challenger in the NFC this morning?
I mean, I would agree with you. I think they're the best team. But the interesting part about the NFC right now is that we don't know right now. Could the Arizona Cardinals continue a meteoric rise the way that, let's just say, San Francisco did last year? Could the 49ers recover? You know, could New Orleans recover enough once you assume Michael Thomas comes back? Obviously, there's nobody in the East. And, you know, Green Bay really showed a major weakness. Problem with Green Bay is that when they've played really great teams, you know, like last year twice with San Francisco, and now easily with Tampa Bay this year, they just really have laid eggs. So I would say right now the team that I think will be standing with them at the end, because I think they're going to be active at the trade deadline, is Seattle.
Yeah, I do too. I think Seattle is going to go out. And Pete's smart enough. John Schneider, they not only are they smart enough, they've been willing deal makers. They're always, you know, Jamal Adams. They'll go make deals on players, and I think they're really a pass rusher away. You and I don't talk about the Cowboys that much, actually. Because I think it's getting to a point where it feels like the end with the Raiders and Al Davis with Jerry Jones. I think there's too much defiance. I think it's too insular. It's a family business to a fault. I've never advocated for getting rid of coaches, but I do think, Peter, in life, success can be hard to see. It often develops. Bad is easy to spot. Jim Tom Sula Niners, it just didn't work. You know, your Rich Kotites, your Les Steckles, your Freddie Kitchens. You can see stuff that doesn't work really quickly. Boy, I look at this Cowboy team, Peter. What works? Like, it feels a little bit like a whiff, does it not?
Yeah, it really looks like it's going to be a Hindenburg season for the Cowboys. You really have to ask yourself, because they're not firing Mike McCarthy, you have to ask yourself, does it do any good to fire Mike Nolan in midseason, let's just say? Does that help? Could it help? And the answer is, I don't know. And I don't really know if there's anybody on the staff who Mike McCarthy would trust in that way, but you might have to throw a few deck chairs overboard on that team. The one other part of this, the one other reason why I don't think that people should be going really crazy about that is everybody will say, hey, they lost Dak. 4/5 of the offensive line that might have been the best in football as of last August 1st, you know, before the retirement of Travis Frederick, 4/5 of the best offensive line in football, they're gone. And so they're not playing right now. And you know, look, Zach Martin eventually is going to play, maybe even this week. But those are essential. When you talk about Dak Prescott and 80% of your offensive line, that's the offense. And then you rely on Ezekiel Elliott to sort of carry you. And then he fumbles twice to lose the game to the Cardinals on Monday Night Football. And then this week on Sunday, he can't pick up a blitz with a Washington linebacker who sacks Andy Dalton. And it just, you know, it almost looks like there's a bunch of guys on that team who are saying, when is this over?
You know, it's interesting. There's going to be three great prospects, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. All the scouts are already in on these are really uniquely talented prospects. And we have seen in the last 5 to 6 years, as college concepts move to the NFL, the hit rate on first-round quarterbacks is much greater than 8-9 years ago when it was 50-50. It's more like 80-20. And I do look at the Chicago Bears, and I think Matt Nagy is really clever. And I think Allen Robinson is really gifted. But you could have the rest of the offense, Peter. Free agency is not how you win Super Bowls generally on quarterbacks. You got to go back to the draft. And I look at the Bears, and I think to myself, I'm hearing rumors they're tired of Matt Nagy, and I think, oh Lord, this would be a huge mistake. To me, Chicago's got to go back to the draft, got to go back to the drawing board, and then I think they could be good again. Like, what do you make of the situation there where you're starting to hear people point fingers at Matt Nagy?
Yeah, I mean, they basically have a poor offensive line. You know, look, Nick Foles is not going to be able to run around very much and to escape the rush. And, you know, so the offensive line needs to give him time to throw. And right now it isn't. The receivers are good enough. The tight end is good enough. The offensive line is awful. And I think that is the biggest problem. almost anything that Matt Nagy calls right now. And there was a big kerfuffle, you know, on the telecast where, you know, apparently Nick Foles said there are some plays I get called in my head and I know I'll never have time to, you know, get to my first option there. I'm just not going to have enough time. So those are the kind of things that if I'm Matt Nagy this week, you got to, I'm not saying it's a must win against New Orleans, but holy cow, you know, the games just get bigger and bigger as you keep going. You're 5-2, but you're as shaky a 5-2 as you can be. You have to call almost everything quick, short, you know, don't give plays time to get destroyed. So everything now, you've got to do the 8-yard curls, you know, the very quick in cuts or crosses. That's what I do if I'm Matt Nagy. You don't have time to do anything else right now.
Surprised at all that Tampa Bay, gifted offensively, goes out and gets Antonio Brown. Surprised by that at all?
I was a little surprised, but talking to Bruce Arians on Sunday night, I think his theory is solid. You know, as long as he can take the headaches of Antonio Brown's, you know, harassment and, you know, sexual assault, whatever he's being investigated for now, I think Bruce Arians thought, and he told me flat out, that his team's too banged up right now. And he felt like he owed it to his team to go out and get another weapon. And I think, you know, when he walked up to his players, to Scotty Miller, to Chris Godwin, to Mike Evans on the field in Vegas on Sunday, and he said, "What do you think you guys are right now, percentage-wise?" And Godwin and Evans both said around 80, and Scotty Miller said about 85. I mean, you don't get healthy during the football season, Colin. You just don't.
Right.
So I think he views his receiving core right now as flawed. And who knows how many chances you're going to have. Will Tom Brady definitely play next year at 44? Probably, but you don't know that for sure. They're all in on trying to win this year. And if Antonio Brown does so much as jaywalk, I think he gets fired.
You watch the New England, so we got about a minute. You watch the New England situation unravel, and I predicted they'd be a 5-11 team. I think it's the slowest team in the NFL offensively. I don't think anybody can succeed here. You can blame Cam all you want, but I don't think this is what Tom Brady was screaming about last year. Nobody can get open. N'Keal Harry feels like a bust. Is there a future, in your opinion? We know Belichick's not going anywhere. Does Cam have a future in this league if we see this for the next 6-7 weeks? Does he have a market?
I mean, not a good one, and certainly not a guaranteed starting market. He might have to be one of those guys who signs a contract, you know, and then you just see what happens, kind of like Nick Foles, a little bit like Andy Dalton, only Andy Dalton was brought in to be strictly an insurance policy. So I think these weeks are important for Cam Newton.
So do I.
But, you know, Colin, the Patriots are 6-9 in their last 15 games for a reason.
Yep.
And it's why Tom Brady left, I think. They're 6-9 because they do not have a single offensive weapon that scares a single defensive coordinator in the NFL.
Yep, completely, absolutely agree. I don't think you can win. It's, by the way, last year we forget Miami was a better team in the last 9 games than New England. We forget how bad they were. They were really, Miami was a better football team. They were faster, more aggressive.
Over the last calendar year, Colin, over the last calendar year, the Miami Dolphins have a better record than the New England Patriots. That says it all.
It really does. Peter King, good seeing you. Good seeing you again, Peter.
Thanks, Colin.
You bet. Seeing the check engine line could freak everybody out. Go to carshield.com, America's number one auto protection provider. Carshield.com, code HERD. 10% off. A deductible may apply. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the HERD Line
Isn't that amazing, by the way? When Peter King says that, you're like, oh, crap, he's right. Miami's a better football team right now than New England.
It's why when they were trying to pitch us that Jarrett Stidham is the future
nonsense.
And Patriots fans were talking about, don't doubt Belichick. Like, I don't doubt Belichick. I never do.
I don't doubt Pete Carroll, but he got fired twice before Russell Wilson.
But I also have eyeballs.
Yeah, exactly. They're the slowest team easily in the NFL. Like, they have no speed offensively. In fact, I'm trying to think. They don't have a single player. Nobody's ever open, ever.
I mean, Peter just said it. Like, there's no one offensively. Really, Cam is the most.
Always, easily.
Is the only offensive weapon that they have that does make you nervous because he can still use his feet.
Yeah.
So there's that. Well, they're not the Cowboys. Right. Cowboys can't catch a break this year. So the internet had a little fun with this. Defensive coordinator Mike Nolan is taking some heat after he was forced to take a break during his press conference yesterday. Here's what happened.
Look, when he misses them, nobody, whoops, excuse me. I got something in my eye. Just had some Tabasco on my finger and it went in my eye. That wasn't good.
Oh, never good.
It's terrible. Jeez, I'm sorry.
Not great. It's been that kind of year. 2020 and on top of the Cowboys.
I mean, look, if they were winning and doing great, this would not be as funny as it is. Like, not that it's funny. Like, nobody, you know, he got Tabasco on his eye. We've all done this. This is a good time to be washing your hands, by the way, Mike. So, you know, if you got stuff caked on your fingers, it's going to go in your eye. It's probably not a good idea. I don't think you're supposed to be touching your eyes or your face anyway.
My dad was an optometrist, and my dad was constantly on me about not touching my eyes because you get styes.
Yeah.
If you put kids have dirty hands. My dad was, I mean, I can hear my dad's voice in my head. Keep your fingers out of your eyes. And I, as a kid, you'd get styes 5 or 6 times a year.
I try to not touch my face right now.
Oh, it's
much
hard.
As possible. It is hard. I sometimes you don't have a choice, but
I got facial hair, so I'm constantly doing this.
Yeah, but you're a face toucher to begin with.
Oh, I'm a big face toucher. I'm a snacker and a face toucher.
See, if you were, well, you have makeup on, but you know you don't really like care about your makeup. When you're a woman, don't touch her faces that often.
Well, you don't because
I'm not just gonna like rub
guys
my eye.
Are you know are just scratchy. That's what guys do.
Well, aside from getting Tabasco in their eye, the Cowboys' defense is not playing very well this year. They're allowing the most points per game. 6 most total yards per game,
yeah.
Most rush yards per game, and forced only 3 turnovers this season. That is tied for the worst in the league. So I'm not going to make a joke. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to resist. Tua is getting ready for his first NFL start this weekend.
Woo!
Feels like so long ago that he was announced to start. We had to wait a whole week.
Yeah.
Yes. Tua time is approaching, and Dolphins defensive end Shaq Lawson is excited to see what Tua can do for them on Sunday.
A guy that always have a smile on his face, a great kid, and he always want to talk to vets and things like that, want to learn new things. I seen a lot of him in practice, how athletic he is, how incredible a player he is. So to get to see that on Sunday this week, man, it's going to be incredible, man. He's going to lead his team in the right way.
I'm going to have a Tua party.
Yeah?
I'm so excited for this.
You are.
What's the line on their game?
You are the Tua guy. You were in the Tua documentary.
Well, I said he's an A-minus B-plus prospect. The injury's real. He's a little short. I mean, it's not an A-plus prospect. He's not. The injury and the size are all legitimate concerns.
I never doubted his talent. The size doesn't bother me because we've seen if you have enough talent, it doesn't matter anymore in this league. The injuries is what always made me nervous because he had multiple injuries in college. But I am excited for what he can do with this Dolphins team.
Yeah.
Now, I do think everyone should probably
chill out. Let's be fair here.
He is going up against the Rams.
Yes.
They are allowing the 2nd fewest points per game, 6 fewest yards per game, and they are tied for 3rd most sacks per this season at 24. They are favored by 4.5. According to Fox Bet, I don't think everyone should have over the top expectations.
Let's
in this
situation. Let's be fair about this. Justin Herbert just won his first game and he's been sensational. Winning games is hard with rookie quarterbacks. Just look for progress. Watch the next 4 weeks. Herbert keeps getting better and better and better. That's it. Burrow has gotten blown out a couple times. He looks a little better every couple weeks.
Well, what I don't want to happen is if they get blown out, that all Dolphins fans start freaking out and start talking about Fitz again.
Oh, Lord, stop.
Let it go.
Let it go. That would be better for our show, though. Tua struggles and Miami implodes. It'd be way better for the show.
I don't think that they will implode because I think that the locker room, and to Shaq's point, I think the locker room, you can't fool players, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, the team is in on Tua. So they see him every day in practice. They see how he's developing. Even if he does go out there, they are understanding they're building for the future. So, again, we've seen what Fitz is.
Yeah.
We know what's coming around the corner. Like, bail early before it gets bad, and then you have to put Tua in, and he's in a forced situation. Finally, the NBA is reportedly discussing a December 22nd start date for the next season, which would lead to a very condensed offseason. And Danny Green thinks that's too soon to get going again, especially for the Lakers that just left the bubble a couple weeks ago.
Most guys, if they said we start in December, I think they're like, I'm not going to be there. And these guys, we just played a whole season. Bron's been in the finals 10 years out of his 17 years, which is unbelievable mentally. You know, it's draining to do that. And to have that quick of a restart, I wouldn't expect to see him there. I wouldn't expect to see him probably for the first month of the season.
They won the NBA title on October 11th. That would only be a 10-week break for them if the next season started on December 22nd. There's usually a four-month break between the end of the season, or the end of the NBA Finals, I should say, and the start of the next regular season. Jared Dudley also tweeted, the show will go on, just don't cry a river when the stars sit out TV games, especially top teams that played a longer full season.
Yeah, last night, somebody texted me about this a couple days ago. It was going to come out. My takeaway is, first of all, I've always wanted 72 games, not 82. But I think what I would do if I was Frank Vogel is I would say to my starters, January 2nd, I expect you to be ready. I'm going to give you about 10 days. I'm going to play you really low minutes. And if I was the league, I would have my schedule give both the Lakers and the Heat really light. Like, I would have the Lakers not open until, if the league starts December 22nd, December 28th,
right,
and maybe not play again to the 2nd. So the league can just say, listen, we're going to start you, Miami and the Lakers, instead of everybody having four games by January 2nd, you'll have one or two. And then there's a point in the season when you can add games late.
Yes, I think there's a way for the league to be reasonable to the Heat and the Lakers.
Yeah.
But I would also say the league is bigger than the Heat and the Lakers.
Right.
And there's still a calendar year, still trying to get things on track, still trying to manage a pandemic and manage an entire league that has hundreds of players and thousands of staff members. Yeah. Like, this is a big deal, bigger than the Lakers and the Heat, but I agree with you. There's ways to manage it for the teams that were there the longest.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Okay,
news.
World Series Game 6 tonight. Tom Verducci's around the corner. Cannot wait. I like Tampa tonight. Tom Verducci, as good as they get, covering the sport next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Sunday night, the Dodgers battle back to take a 3-2 lead in the World Series. And tonight, they'll look to clinch their first title in 32 years. It all starts at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
So the Dodgers are saving Walker Buehler, their ace, until game 7. That's always an interesting. So you're the Dodgers. You have a 3-2 World Series lead. Okay, so you can start Walker Buehler on short rest. He's your best pitcher. Or you can give the momentum potentially back to Tampa and then start Walker Buehler game 7. That's what I would do. I want my best rested and ready to go. But the Dodgers' bullpen is all sorts of question marks, enigmatic. Any Dodger fan will tell you there's a lot of stress on this organization. Here's what I don't like about it, is that it's not like they've won back-to-back World Series. Like, it's not New England situation. It's a situation where they always lose in this spot since, like, 88, right? It feels like that. So there's this kind of, like, drama building. And so you know if Tampa Bay wins tonight, the pressure's all on the Dodgers in Game 7. And this is not an organization. They have not played well in those pressure-packed spots. Do you go with Walker Buehler and say, we don't even want to get to a Game 7? We don't even want to get... Because then if you go to a Game 7, having lost with Walker Buehler, it's all hands on deck for both. You just cross your fingers. The worrying part is they've always had talent. I mean, how many years in a row have the Dodgers won their division? Like 7 straight years. But if you lose tonight, and we kind of suspect they would, but they're going to MacGyver it using a bunch of bullpen parts, it still puts enormous pressure on a young ace and the Dodgers in Game 7. You've got your ace, massive pressure, and they have not, it's no shot, they haven't necessarily responded to it. It's very interesting. Tom Verducci's supposed to be here, don't have him yet. I saw this story. Sometimes the media does this. I get it. The media gets into their feelings over facts. OBJ is hurt, out for the year. He'll still play again. Baker Mayfield doesn't have OBJ. We got to be totally honest about this. Chemistry's hard. They never worked. First of all, it never worked, but they don't work. You look at all the data. Baker Mayfield, I'm not blaming anybody, is better without OBJ. Baker's young. There's sort of an unspoken pressure to get it to a superstar, and that's what Odell was coming out of New York, a superstar. Baker's best year in Cleveland, the year he didn't have OBJ. Baker this Sunday played maybe his best game. OBJ was hurt early. That's not a shot on anybody. Chemistry is hard. I was talking to somebody this morning about this. I worked at a company that's had 50 TV shows, ESPN. One has had amazing chemistry. A guy named Tony, a guy named Mike. By the way, they had the chemistry before they worked at the company. They were newspaper guys for 25 years. Chemistry is so hard. It is so hard. There's a million pregame and postgame shows. All these networks have pregame shows, postgame shows. There's two shows that are legendary, the Barkley Show and the Howie Terry Jimmy Show. That, why? It's chemistry. They all like each other. Shaq and Barkley and Kenny like each other. And Howie and Terry are best friends, and Jimmy and they all like each other. Doesn't mean they're the most talented, the smartest, the funniest. They like each other. Like, chemistry's hard. And like, this thing never worked. There's nobody to blame here. OBJ was a good teammate. Not an OBJ issue. OBJ's never, he's done some stuff that to me is nonsense. But it's not, I got no problem with, he's been a good soldier here. But the bottom line is, when you are a superstar and you're a young quarterback, there is this sort of, this was a Dak Dez situation. Get him the ball. Nobody had to, you don't have to tell people things sometimes. Like Baker's like, okay, OBJ's a superstar. I may want to get him the ball a lot. And there's this unspoken pressure. And I think it did put pressure on Baker. He wouldn't admit it. I saw a couple of times early in this relationship, something would happen and Baker would like over-support OBJ. He wanted so desperately to make it work. But let me defend Baker Mayfield on this. This is a really tough situation. You go into Cleveland, which is dysfunctional. You have the wrong coach. You have Jarvis Landry. Then you get a bunch of good running backs. Then you got new coaches. And then you know you got to make the OBJ thing work because OBJ is an infectious personality. He's a superstar, the one-handed catch. You want to get him the ball. But the numbers don't lie. Let's just go facts over feelings here. He's better without him. If Baker Mayfield, at his best at Oklahoma, sprinkled the ball around the infield. That's really when he's at his best. And the other thing is, when you're a young quarterback and you're struggling, Baker Mayfield, it's really hard to go into a room with a superstar and kind of have a forceful way about you. Tom Brady can look at Antonio Brown tomorrow and say, bruh, you're going to get two targets this weekend. The matchups, the way they roll safeties over, I'm not. What's Antonio Brown going to say? That's what Big Ben, it drove AB nuts, but Big Ben would say, I got the Super Bowl rings. You don't, all right? Like, I'm the guy here. And so I think this thing, I never bought into the OBJ Baker thing. I never bought into it day one. And I said this. You're always best in a tenuous relationship. Just make a move on it. Like, just don't, because OBJ had a history of getting hurt. It was never perfectly going to work. So the longer you had OBJ, the longer you had him, the greater the opportunity for it to go sideways. And now he gets hurt. Nobody's fault. You don't have any value trading him. So in this league, you see this all the time in the NBA. Like, a player's unhappy, just let him go. Like it will not, it'll not get better. It'll get worse. You see this at companies all over America. If somebody's unhappy, just let them go. You see it at colleges all the time. Like, a college basketball coach gets an offer, and instead of fighting him and keeping him, he's going to be bitter and resentful. Let him go hire a new football coach. So this is not a Baker fault. This is not an OBJ fault. I will say this. So I think the new people in Cleveland, Stefanski's really bright. The new GM is bright. I thought they'd figure it out really quickly. I thought they'd spot, because they've spotted some things really quickly, and they've done a really good job. I thought they'd spot it really quickly and just say, let's just move it out here. They didn't acquire OBJ. He wasn't their guy, right? It's always easier for a GM. Like, it's hard for the GM in Chicago to acknowledge Trubisky was a bad pick when you have stars taken after him. It's much easier. It's always been this way in the NFL to get a new GM, and he can go, well, that was that guy's mistake. So that wasn't me. I thought the new GM would come in very quickly. They'd see, we got Landry and Joku. Once they got Austin Hooper, the tight end, I'm like, okay, you're running out of ball. You can only have so many footballs here. You're asking Baker now to get everybody 7 targets and 9 catches. It's ridiculous. So I'm defending Baker on this, and I'm actually, in a way, defending OBJ. I think it was the responsibility of the front office in Cleveland to see that it didn't work. Look at the data. These are analytic guys. All these guys are analytic guys. Look at the numbers. Baker's not as good with him. Baker was better at Oklahoma, spreading it around. I'm surprised they didn't make a move earlier. For I think Stefanski and the GM are very smart guys, and they're very into analytics. The analytics tell you this puppy don't work. It's Dak and Dez. It doesn't work. Nobody's fault. Doesn't work. Pure Talk USA, unlimited talk, unlimited text, 2 gigs of data, just $20 a month. Grab your mobile phone, dial #250 and say my name, Colin Cowherd. So Tom Verducci may be next hour. Justin Herbert, Chargers quarterback, is also going to be joining us next hour. Now, by the way, I don't want anybody to think that was a shot at my former employer, but I was talking about chemistry. It's impossible. All these networks create all these shows. It's unbelievable. You and I got along like 4 days in. That doesn't happen.
We've never even had
a fight.
What are we going to fight about?
I don't know. I fight about everything. I'm difficult. By the way, if you're not ready to give up, of course you're not. The only everyday supplement for driven men. Check it out, mdriveformen.com today. Tom, next hour, I'm being told. So I get Tom Verducci and Justin Herbert.
It's a strong hour.
Strong hour, the quarterback who, by the way, how great does it feel if you run a franchise, you own it, you run it, and you're like, oh, my God, the next 15 years, we got the quarterback. Hour 3 next.